They're all here. The divas, princes, and living legends you should be obsessed with. Sitting down with me. I'm David Goldberg. These are the Luminaries. This time, I'm joined by Taylor Trench, who has starred in Broadway productions of Matilda, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, Hello Dolly, and, most recently, in the title role of Dear Evan Hansen. He joins me for a conversation about his uncanny talent and unassuming attitude. Okay, I'm with the angel himself, the Taurus Prince. Hi.
Hi, I'm so glad this is not a visual medium, because you've really outdone me today in the looks department. You're wearing a sort of like, if I could describe it for our listeners, it's like a hot pink jumpsuit. It has the elegance of like an Ann Taylor Loft, but then the fun, flirty vibes of like Miu Miu even. Yes. And then you're really grounding it with a sandal. Like, because you're like, yes, I'm dressed up, like I can go to party, but also like if we want to go to the beach, that's fine with me too.
I can hang.
Yeah.
I just bought the sandals like 10 minutes ago at Steve Madden.
Gorge.
And while I was trying them on, the jumpsuit kept slipping off. I think this is like made for breastfeeding. It's full tits out. And people don't know this. Taylor and I are recording in this kind of corporate, kind of midtown hellscape.
For sure.
They have not been loving this look either.
It keeps like coquettishly slipping off your shoulder. You're right.
I can't win. I know. And then, well, you know, for those of us who have had breakouts on our backs. Anyways, I'm going to make it work.
Not even.
Listen.
Also, it's like, I was going to say, it's so weird to see like just a sexy look in this neighborhood. But then on the way here, I was actually surprised. I saw many a hot person on my way to come. I was like,
oh, I'm surprised too.
For the neighborhood, like a big win.
I'm really surprised
really
too. That's unheard of.
I know.
Like what kind of hot people? Like corporate bros?
No, all kinds. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. I was like, it was really a true thrill.
Do you come to this neighborhood a lot?
Absolutely never.
Okay, because you had to come here every single day for a long, long time.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
And now you don't. Engage.
Yeah, now
God,
I stay
that's
away.
Great.
And this even is like a special part of Midtown. Like Midtown East, Midtown Central, what do we call this? It's not for moi.
Did you see the new Spider-Man movie?
No.
So I really enjoyed
it. Into the Spider-Verse? No, the Tom Holland one.
The Tom Holland one.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's a similar twinkish body type to us.
Oh, wow, huge.
Yeah, he's doing a lot for us.
I personally identify as more of a Zendaya, but
yes.
Go for it.
Who is great. I think she's a full movie star.
Zendaya is Michi, yeah.
Yes, and so there's a scene where they're swinging, and they swing by Grand Central, and I really got anxious. Like,
it was supposed to be like a, wow, New York, but you're like, ugh.
It's so upsetting. Like, it's so, anyways.
I get it.
You just left the city.
I did.
For how long?
I was in, the south of France for like 2 weeks, and then I went to Montreal for a weekend.
Wow, so you really got away for a while.
Yes, yeah.
That's amazing.
I know, and then going to P-Town for the first time next week.
I think that's going to be magical.
Yeah, have you been?
I have. It's been already like a decade. Now I
wow,
go to,
Zoe.
I've been going more to Fire Island.
Classic.
And you've been there?
Never.
I think P-Town will suit you.
I think so, too.
It's kind of chintzy.
Yeah. I don't know if I should, like, I don't know how I'm going to digest that, but I will. Anytime.
Like, it has this kind of sweet tackiness.
That's me. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and Fire Island I find to be, like, a little more Sharon Stone in the 80s, which is great.
Of course, yeah.
But P-Town has this kind of, like, land that time forgot. While there is still the seediness, like,
right.
I think it's so outrageous. I think you'll like it more.
I'm excited.
Yeah, and it's a different, you have all the Cape Cod wasps. I think that's good for you.
For sure.
But how was the South of France?
For me, a white supremacist.
Yes, no, yeah. Yes. Who was also wants to be Zendaya. Yeah. Yeah.
South of France was incredible. I wish I could say that I went, like, and had, like, an Eat, Pray, Love situation. I don't think she went to France in that film. I've never seen it. Or read the book.
I've literally seen it 3 times. No, she doesn't.
Yeah.
But
like that's sort of.
It's the exact same as that. And under the Tuscan. It's the same. It's the same. Italy and France are interchangeable.
100%. So I wish I could say that I had like that kind of moment. But actually, what I did, I mean, I had a few days of that, but I listened to a podcast. Hey, this is one. With Carrie Coon. Who's one of my all-time faves.
Wow.
And she talked about going to this theater in the south of France called the Roy Hart Center.
Okay.
Which is essentially like a bunch of women, like a bunch of like silver haired women in yoga pants in like old, old buildings in the mountains of France being like, oh! And she said that she loved it, and it was like such a great experience. And so I literally went to that theater for a week and like took class.
Oh, wow.
Like, kooky performance artist geniuses.
So I thought that you were doing like, I'm done with my shows. I'm going to take like, I'm just going
that's
on a student vacation.
That's what like a well person would do.
Instead you did like a Jedi, 100%. Like Dagobah initiation.
Yeah, essentially. It was like a class of 8 people. My teacher, Ralph, was obsessed. A German performance artist. And then there were 8 of us in the class. We were each from a different country, like from 20 to 60s-ish.
Wow.
It was a lot of like, yeah, like making large sounds in like an old castle and then like sobbing at each other.
And may I ask, I don't mean to sound snobby, but were other people there like hobbyists or full-time performers, or was it a spectrum?
A full spec, short for spectrum. Just to clarify, I would say there were more like people who were not professional actors okay. in the class. There were 2 people younger than me who were in drama school or like had just graduated, but everyone above me, like someone was a physics professor, one woman was like a German teacher.
Oh, that must have been so nice for you to not be with like people who were crawling up their own assholes in that specific way.
It was really, really cool. Although there was one person in the class who was like, I think I've seen you. I was like, ah!
No, you're supposed to be like incognito for your training.
Right, I know.
Even Yoda is safe. Yoda doesn't even reveal his identity until like a bit in.
I know.
So like maybe you haven't had enough time to reflect, but what did you gain from it? Or what feels like it's shifted?
That's a great question. I was hoping to leave just sounding like Carrie Coon, and I don't think I'm there yet.
No, you're too soft. You're too delicate. I don't want you to sound like her. She's so hard.
I know. Yeah. I have to compliment you. I was listening to the first episode with Charlene, your first episode. I was like re-listening to it the other day, and it was such my ideal like vocal type is like kind of husky, and you and Charlene both bring like different but like gorgeous husks.
Thank you.
And it was like, I was like, ooh, I'm in heaven. This is like my ASMR.
Thank you.
I was listening to you both be like, the Bushwick. That's not an impression of either of you. I'm so sorry.
No, but there is, I have the pre-editing, there's, because it's the first episode and she's like, so what is this? And I'm like, it's Charlene, it's like gay Terry Gross. And she's like, I don't know her. And it's so good.
Oh my God.
She speaks with such like a vibrant,
like
presence.
Totally gravitas.
Carrie Coon is more, well, I don't know her astrology. I assume it's Gemini, but there's more like pain. There.
Yeah, it's very like present, their voice.
Yeah, and very like, I am trying to get through.
Yeah. Oh my God, 100%. She could like shatter at any moment. Yeah.
But I'm sorry.
Not at all.
We were saying, you wanted, oh right, you wanted to sound like Carrie Coon.
And I don't think I'm there. I'm
fine.
I'm not sure what, I don't know if there's anything like tangible, like that I've took away from the class necessarily, or like not something I can identify right now.
Right.
But I do know like, I had some like profound experiences watching the other people work. Like the German teacher, Mariana, she had like a heavy bang. She was like, she felt like she was 7 feet tall. She was like very praying mantis sort of posture.
I think you like a rolled doll.
Completely.
The illustrations.
Yes,
yeah.
Definitely. She was like physically Mr. Wormwood, but like emotionally and spiritually Miss Honey.
Mm.
Like very kind and very afraid to make sounds. And so like the whole week it was her like being so quiet and like hesitant. And then like on the last day of class she like busted through and she bust down Tatiana and like made this huge sound, and I just started sobbing. I was, like, so thrilled for her.
Whoa.
I know.
So, like, a real release.
Yeah.
I guess it's, I feel like as I get older, when I have kind of those big, profound experiences, it usually takes a few weeks to register completely. What even, but I know that a shift has been made, just not always consciously.
Right. Especially because you're always on ayahuasca too when they happen. So again, it kind of takes time for you to.
But I'm such a like, I'm always going to be like teen girl diary mode where it's like, this is what I learned today.
For
and
sure,
it's like,
sure.
Usually you're not really aware. And then a few weeks later, you realize that your life is like suddenly easier. There's something
totally
that's great.
Yes. Did you have a live journal?
No, okay. I had a blog when I lived in LA.
Okay.
I had a blog that was my nightlife blog. Ooh. That was very little read, but I posted.
Oh, that was
nonstop.
You're describing the like readership. I thought you were saying it was called Very Little Red. And it's like, ooh, so intriguing.
Very little red. It was called Club Scholar, which was a great name.
That is a really good name.
And I wrote in it nonstop, but I have the extant literature that remains, but it's very difficult to read because it's, you know, when you don't understand mental health, like it's basically just like, this is me depressed screaming out and I just
didn't
have the
like
language.
Vocabulary, totally.
Right. So that now when I look back on it, it's like, oh God. And it's like, well, whatever. There are some interesting parts that'll be good for the memoirs. Like, the more the travel diaries are good. You know, me bitching about LA nightlife, I don't really. And me bitching about how I wasn't getting laid. It's like, okay, well, there's deeper things going on.
Sure.
Anyways, did you have a live journal?
Yeah, for sure.
Whoa.
I know. So many. But it was like very, it was so performative. Like, I had a pretty, like, tame. Like life as a child, like nothing was like, I had no like major traumas as far as I know. So it was a lot of like me like trying to be my most poetic and like posting lyrics that I thought were, I don't know. It was tragic, very sad.
I want to ask you about performative earnestness.
I thought you would never ask. I was just talking.
Been waiting.
I was just talking to a friend on Marco Polo about how sunflowers are to me feel like performative earnestness. Like they're like the Comic Sans. Of flowers.
Mm-hmm. And they do always make a tweet comeback.
Completely.
But they don't deserve it.
No, exactly. Stay in the 90s where you belong.
Thank you. They're not even dandelions.
No,
you're
exactly.
Right. Dandelions aren't performative, actually.
No, absolutely not. Dandelions are sweet. Dandelions are, like, timeless.
And you have to engage with them.
Yes.
Sunflowers, it's very...
It's, oh my God,
yeah.
Stop. I
Please.
Know. I got it, sweetie. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious about... Famously, you have a great sense of humor. You're beloved for it among the New York, whatever the fuck this scene is. But you're in the most earnest possible industry. I mean, and you've been in very earnest productions.
Sure.
And I'm just curious what that's been like for you, or if the earnestness is what kind of polished your sense of humor, or if it's the inverse.
I don't know. I think they maybe both exist like simultaneously.
Okay.
I think I used to like when I was a teenager, I think I really didn't like earnestness in other people. It was like such an eye roll. But I think recently I've seen this trend of like, especially on the internet, of people like thinking that being mean is very funny, and that's like not.
Yeah.
So I think I've started to gravitate back towards appreciating or valuing someone being sincere. I don't know if sincere and being earnest are exactly the same thing, but so yeah, I feel like it's made like more of a resurgence in my life in the last few years, and so yeah, maybe now they like somehow exist at the same time.
I struggle with it because I like, listen, I can put on Mulan.
Of course.
Really, and I can tell you the actual minute marks when I will burst into tears like clockwork in
100%.
That movie, right? But for some reason, often when I see theater, it's a little too, it's like they're pushing it too hard.
Right.
Or maybe it's something about maybe I'm not seeing the best theater, or
maybe it's also like the distance of a film versus like seeing theater, they're right there.
Yeah.
Like, you can really feel how hard people are working.
Yeah. And there is this sense of, like, they need me to like them that
totally.
I guess that, and that might be my own, like you said, when you're younger, of like, well, now I'm not going to like you.
100%.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky. But then, did you ever watch Veronica Mars?
No, but I just saw that they like, put the...
They brought it back.
Right.
It's back. And I started watching it, and there was this moment where I was like, wow, I forgot in 2004 how snarky things were. Mm-hmm. And watching that level of snarkiness at first was uncomfortable. But then I realized because the writing is actually intelligent, mm-hmm. I welcomed it.
Totally.
Because, like, I had... Sorry, I'm throwing these at you.
Not at all.
I tried to watch the new season of Stranger Things, and...
Famously never watched an episode.
Oh, bless you. Good for you. It's Thanks. So... It's, like, not... No one wrote it. Like, there's...
Oh, God.
It's not, like... I don't know what anyone is saying. There okay. is no dialogue. It's like shadow dimension.
Okay.
And it's just not funny or like compelling. And I forgot. I was like, oh, right. When the writing is good, you can be earnest or
totally.
Snarky.
Any
and
tone.
It's fine.
As long as it makes sense and is clear. And
right.
I feel like that show, I've never watched a single episode. I'm so sorry, Millie Bobby Brown. But I feel like that show is so much more about the style. Like it's about an aesthetic, a look, more than it is about like, The
yeah.
story, really?
The yeah.
I think I just said the story.
The story.
And for that, I actually have to leave. Thank you so much for
no,
having
this is
me.
A Yiddish, this is a Yiddish podcast and theater company.
What a thrill, Jackie Hoffman. I love your work.
That show. Okay, so that I do want to talk. Did you see that?
I haven't seen it, no.
That, I cried.
Wow.
I was on a little mushroom, but I did cry.
I just pictured you sitting on like a tiny little mushroom. Yes. Not like on mushrooms, but like
Princess
Peach yes. perched on a toadstool.
I mean, it is mushroom. Like, it is dirt. Like, Jackie Hoffman
oh, wow.
is in the dirt. And, she's pulling mushrooms out of the dirt.
I'm dying to see it.
That, though, was not earnest or sweet or sentimental. It was not like, I'm an 18-year-old blonde girl starring in Fun Home. It was,
right.
like, rough.
Uh-huh.
But it was so real.
Uh-huh.
And it really hit me.
I gotta see it. Mm-hmm. Did you see the revival before that? The Broadway...
I saw the one with Harvey Fierstein, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. which I really didn't like. Did you see that?
No, I've only seen it. I saw the Danny Burstein, Jessica Hecht, like Bar Chair Lincoln Center revival.
Oh, how was that?
Beautiful. Loved it. And then I saw a production in a black box at a regional theater in my hometown.
Ooh.
That was also, I was like, a black box? But it was great. I love Fiddler on the Roof. The black tunes get me good.
Fiddler on the Roof, I think it suits Fiddler on the Roof to be in a black box mm-hmm. because if you get Broadway stars who are, like, too pretty
mm-hmm.
and too goyish...
For sure.
I don't care how much money you throw into it, it defeats the purpose. Which, however, this one, I will say, I don't know where they got these men. They are ungodly hot. They're out of this world hot.
Oh my
Every
God.
Last one. Even Perchik.
Even Perchik.
I mean, listen, of course Fiedka's hot. Please.
That's
I don't need to tell you. You know. But Perchik and these boys
wow.
learned Yiddish. It's,
oh, they're,
it's
okay.
obscene.
I was thinking they were like specifically sought out, like hired actors who already spoke Yiddish. They learned
That's what I
on
thought.
The job. Are they all bearded? Is that
Not
sort
all
of the vibe?
Of them.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you.
Well, a little something for everyone, eh?
I remember when we did Fiddler on the Roof in high school. Like
You were.
I was Laser Wolf, and we used a spirit gum beard. but, like, of course, the one very goyish child got to play Fiedka, and my mom was like, of course, of course.
Where did you grow up?
Houston, Texas.
I never would have pegged you for that.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Thank you, honestly.
So, well, that actually leads me to something else I want to ask you about.
Go on.
Like me, you are very young looking.
Thank you.
And I'm curious, like, I'm just curious if that's ever been an impediment for you. Like, people always treat me a certain way or mm-hmm. always kind of treat me like a baby, or they're like, they assume that I'm very sweet. And for you, who has like this surging talent just kind of like within you, I'm just curious. And I assume you have like a lot of lovely teen straight girl fans.
For sure.
I'm just curious where that is good or not good.
That's a good question. I feel like it's mostly been good
okay.
for me, especially like in my career as an actor. Like I am 30 and I like should not be playing teenagers anymore, but
right.
I keep getting to, and I feel like I've gotten to play like a lot of good parts because of the way I look. Gosh, I don't know. I mean, there is like certainly part of me that like is itching to play an adult, and I think that time is maybe coming soon.
Okay.
I hope. Every morning I like wake up and stare at my forehead, like willing the fine lines to go away. But I don't know. I don't think there's been like a. I do though. I mean, for sure, people. When I went to this class in the south of France, when I told there were two kids. They were adult human beings. There was one was 20 and one was like 26, and they both were like, "You're 30?" Like they couldn't believe it. And it was like nice at first, but then like after days, I was like, "Okay, I'm gay." Yeah.
And what about within the gay world? May I ask?
Yeah, I think I like probably get infantilized a little.
Okay, me too.
Although now I'm fully like gonna call me by your name situation. My boyfriend is 9 years younger than I am.
So 21?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Lil BB.
But he has been doing like hardcore theater for quite a while, right?
He's on the tour of Dear Evan Hansen right now.
Right.
And then he did the Broadway. He was an understudy on Broadway the year before.
Okay.
But that was his debut was Dear Evan Hansen.
But he's, all right, but he's like, he's a working boy. He's
totally,
not
yeah.
like.
No, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like also like, at the same time that he's 21, he's also like the oldest Jewish woman.
Right.
Like he's like fully my bubby. And he grew up in LA and something about, I think growing up in LA like makes you grow up faster.
Yeah. And I think like he clearly, when I was 21, I think I was pretty worthless. Like he clearly is like motivated.
Yeah,
and
so
on,
smart
on this
and like
with us.
Aware and an activist and yeah.
Yeah, like how? But how is that? Because I so project when I meet people younger than me, especially when I meet ones who are like way better off than I was.
Oh my God,
it's
yes.
so confusing for me,
mm-hmm.
and I so want. I'm always looking for like the fatal flaw
Completely.
In them.
You're not supposed to have that yet. Who's
yes.
your dad?
Exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah. He needs to suffer more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's such a. I always try to like catch myself when I feel that because it's like so totally pointless and destructive.
I know.
But it's so easy. You like it's so easy to jump to that.
Yeah.
Because if you like watching someone achieve at a faster rate than you did is like infuriating.
Yeah, and to see people be like. More naturally unencumbered in certain
yeah.
ways. It's like, well, then why did I waste
right.
all my
yeah.
fucking time with that that total bizarro world nonsense?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like such a, that like thought pattern is also like even more of a waste of time. But it's so easy to fall into.
It is. And yeah. I was in LA when I was that age and I would meet so many older people who were so morose to me. And I knew I was like, I never want to be like that. And now I'm afraid that I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Any minute
Oopsies.
Now, yeah. So you are 30.
Mm-hmm.
The last time we interviewed, which was...
Like, a year ago? Year and a half?
No, I think it was like early, like January.
Of this year?
I know. No,
God.
I know. I'm in shock too.
No, that would make sense, I guess. Yeah.
Because it was right when you were finishing.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
So I want to kind of pick up, not that anyone has necessarily read that interview, but I want to pick up on a few
okay.
threads from that.
Yeah, I have three kids now. Bailey, Thomasina, and...
Poultice.
Yeah.
So, well, I guess the first aspect was you're exactly a year older than I am, but we're both kind of... We had kind of had a little return of Saturn talk, and I'm just so curious about how it's been for you, where you are in it, what you're feeling.
Wow. So I think I've been, like, really excited to turn 30 my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I've always found it, like, easier to talk to adults and
yeah.
since I was a little kid. And so I, like, it was, like, not a fear for me. But, yeah, like, this past year for sure was, like, a... So focused and like so one track minded. Yeah. And so, like, coming out of that, that was like, it was such tunnel vision. And now coming out of that and being like, hello?
Right.
Anyone?
Right. Yeah. I'm curious. Well, I'm just curious what interests you because I know I and many other people would like want to hear more of you, like you either writing or creating or narrating or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what are you curious about or have you thought about anything that you're like, this is something I haven't done? This there, because you've been through many gauntlets that most people haven't been through at our age. Mm-hmm. So now I'm wondering, like, what would interest you or what would stimulate you?
Sure. I think, like, growing up, I was, like, the funny person in my group of friends.
Right.
And everyone's like, you should do stand-up. And I, like, always sort of entertained the idea. And then I came here and, like, started listening to all of the comedians we both love. And yeah. I was like, oh, I'm not the funny one. Like, there are so many people who are, like, their mind moves so much faster than mine does. And, like, they're, like, preposterously funny references. And so then I think that, like, made me scared and run away from that idea. But I did recently write, like, 5 or 10 minutes worth of stand-up.
Oh, my God.
And feel like maybe I'll perform it secretly somewhere one day and, like, see how it goes. And then maybe, like, venture into that further. But also it's, like, I don't know if we need another white male voice in stand-up comedy. So I'm not, like, that's, it doesn't feel like something I have to do in the same way that, like, being on Broadway. It was, like, such, it was, like, my only dream as a child.
Really?
And now, yeah, I've been lucky enough to do that for a long time. I feel like now, I mean, I love acting. I feel like I've tried writing. I'll write, like, one page of something, and it either, like, ends up just turning into The Cell starring Jennifer Lopez, or I, like, it just becomes hard and I stop writing it. And so I feel like I'm more, like, an interpreter of other people's words than, like, a creator of my own. So I think I'd love to, like, stay acting, and I guess it's my, what would be exciting for me, what would be different and challenging would be to, like, venture into on-camera stuff, TV and film.
Yes. Okay, wait, before we move on, let me just say something, because I actually am just going to take complete executive authority and speak for the whole community.
Uh-oh.
You should do comedy, and trust me, I have never said that to another person in my life. You should do comedy. Like,
thanks.
You are funnier than most people on Twitter, and you aren't trying hard. And I've never read a Taylor Trench tweet that's you, like, piggybacking off of whatever Trump said. Like, you're actually on it. And obviously you're talented. So, and this wouldn't be an ego trip. Like, we need you. You are a white gay we need. I will clear out the rest. I mean, you have one that is where you're dreaming of walking down the aisle to Big Little Lies theme song.
Yes, and then someone immediately responded to me with, replied with the title of the song and the artist, and they were like, speak his name into existence. I was like, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, you should do it, and I think it would just be, like, fun for you, but no pressure.
Okay.
I mean, okay.
I'll give it a go. Do you do stand-up?
I went through a phase last year, and I tried it, which... I also understand the part of me being like, God, these are people devote their lives to this. How dare I?
Right.
But I needed to do it to, like, at least get my voice back because I don't think I was able to even
Access that.
Yeah.
You do have one of my favorite I Don't Think So Honeys of all time.
Which
that I think I told you when we were doing our timeout.
Which that blew me away.
It was the Carly Rae.
Thank you.
It was so important. No one had spoken on that before. No one had the courage or the bravery to highlight her.
And yet they're not sending me concert tickets. I get nothing.
Carly, are you listening?
That truly blew me away because I was so afraid of you because the only thing I had ever seen of you was the Getaway video, the disco.
Oh, my gosh.
And in that, I was like, who is he? He's so, like, frighteningly talented. And I just – I could only see, like – I was like, he could destroy anyone. Like, he looks like a villain.
Oh, my God.
But you're not.
I do get that a lot. I did, like, a concert once upon a time, and this guy, I, like, was singing all these songs to this guy, and he was like, do you ever do, like, TV? And I was like, no. He was like, you should. I feel like you would, like, do really well. And I was like, oh, thank you. He's like, yeah, you, like, are such a specific type. And I was like, thanks. He was like, really, like, scary, like, very sinister sort of rat face. I was like, okay, oh, well, okay, thank you.
It wasn't rat face. I think because you were doing that show at the time, your cheekbones were literally, like,
so hollowed out. I know.
So you looked very, like, severe in a great way.
Thank
I mean,
you.
you look like you now, thank God. But yeah, I was like, who is he? Is he going to kill us all?
Oh my God, I'm always trying to get back to that. To look like a true corpse.
Yeah, but now you're like glistening and
thank you.
Hello.
South of France.
And you're a hair icon now.
Oh my God,
after
thank
that
you.
Last Twitter video too.
I'm trying to grow it out. Oh yeah, you were like the one person to notice my many hair shifts.
Insane.
All I do is touch it. It's never been this long. And my boyfriend is like, I have to hang up when we're on FaceTime because I can't watch you touch your hair one more time. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
So then I hang up and like put a bump it in and like experiment with new looks.
I wanted to ask about your self-care journey too, because I know that when you were doing Dear Evan Hansen, you had recently become a vegan.
Mm-hmm. And no, a long time vegan.
Oh, you've been a long time vegan.
But
I'm
the
sorry.
Other boys, how dare you? The other boys who played the role before me became like dairy-free, gluten-free in order to sustain.
Really?
Yeah. But I've been vegan for years.
Matilda.
Gwyneth Paltrow, please.
Did you see that clip of her speaking Spanish?
Of course, yeah, with the Castilian accent.
It's so good. I love her.
I think she's a fucking genius.
I
worship her. I just got to see a screening of The Politician, Ryan Murphy's new TV show, and she is extraordinary in it.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for you to see what her like looks.
Okay.
All season long.
The Taffy Brodesser Ackner piece on her in the New York Times last year, I think is the best piece of journalism
I've
ever
framed.
Read.
I agree.
Yeah. Thank you. And like, then people talk about
scripture.
How they look.
Yeah,
I'm like, you have to read that article.
Yes. She is so hated. She's such a hated figure, and I couldn't be more on her side.
I know. She's hated, but what was so good about that article is it's like, it's because you want to be her.
Yes. And I do.
I love, and like her in a white cape when she did, was that Country Strong? Some
yeah,
premiere
I
like.
I loved Country Strong. Made me cry.
Oh, love the suicide twist at the end. Why not?
Yeah, Star is Born. You like, nice try.
See, we have a tick.
Oh my God,
coming
a slip.
Up. Yeah, I can't move. I'm just curious about how your self care kind of journey's been going, especially now that you've had a little time off, like. How's it been for you learning to, like, be with yourself? Have you changed any habits or routines, et cetera?
Well, as you can probably see from my lack of, like, carved out cheek bones, that I have been, my, like, main self-care has been, like, dessert.
Amazing.
Eating so many treats. It's been, like, traveling. I didn't really get to go abroad very much my whole life.
And
so I've been trying to, like, travel this summer, and that's been nice. And I think I met friends when I was in the south of France. I met a friend in Barcelona, but so many of this time has been alone. And I think that's been like meditative and I don't want to say healing, but like useful, nice in a way.
Well, it's not just that you've been in Broadway shows for a decade. You've been in very like big,
like,
booming
yeah,
ones.
Like high profile.
High profile,
pressure's
but
on.
Orally, like if I think about Matilda or Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime,
yeah,
they're
like me screaming.
and like things happening, like noises literally like around you.
Completely.
So yeah, I'm curious what it's like for you to like be in silence now.
Yeah, that when I was doing Hello Dolly, I took a week vacation and went to Hawaii by myself. Mm. That was like I think the first time I'd done a solo vacation. And so I just sat on a beach like silently for a week and I came back. And I'm going to burp. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, my God.
No, I love it.
Keep that in. Here I am, honey. I came back from that, and I, like, sang the first show, and I was like, nah! Like, I was like, look at me. I hate my singing voice. I hate to sing. I hope to never sing again. But that, like, first show back, I was like, Bet, step aside. Like, Tony Winner, Gavin Creel, I don't think so. Listen to me. I was, like, in flawless voice. And it was, because it had been years of, like, back-to-back singing, yelling, like, 8 times a week. And
right.
I took 1 week off of just, like, being, I was quiet for a week and came back and was, like, truly Celine Dion. Yeah.
And you felt like it,
yeah,
too.
And it was gone the next day. But
right.
I had, like, nodes immediately after that performance. Not really. What were we talking about?
Just, like, being alone, especially
yes,
now.
Yeah.
As you come into your
right. Yeah,
return
it's
of
been,
Saturn.
It's been so nice. I've also been in, like, so many long-term relationships where I lived with my person. What am I? Grey's Anatomy. I've never watched that either. Sorry.
I love that. What can I ask? What you watch?
that was. If you could see the look that I got with that question,
what do you
so
watch?
Like do you know Culture or Fleabag? I mean, like, sorry to, like, not have anything new or exciting to say, but Fleabag is my all-time favorite thing of all time.
Yeah, let's talk about it because, you know, I actually, speaking of earnestness and snarkiness, I actually had a lot of issues with season one. I had a hard time. I watched all of it, but I truly, I have to tell you something humiliating.
Okay.
Well, when it first came out, I met Samantha Bee because I interviewed her.
Great.
And I went to her show and she was like, I'm going to go home and watch Fleabag. And I like told her I didn't like it. And I think I was cast out forever from the kingdom. Like, why did I do that?
100%. Full frontal. Now you're getting full back, I guess. It's the opposite of that.
I'm seeing her back.
Yeah. Because she turned away from you.
I guess my issue with season one is I felt like it was a little too much of that, like, and I know I'm wrong. When I watched it, I felt like she wanted you to like her, or she wanted it to be like, she wanted it to be a little cuter than it was. Mm-hmm. Season two is, to me, perfect.
Yeah,
season two, there isn't even a minute for her to be like, look, I'm narrating my own show. How cute. Because there's like, it opens with blood.
Right.
So her narration, you're like, oh, I need her to narrate.
It was also like served a different function in the second season because there was like already the huge revelation in the first season where I don't know what I'm saying. I see what you're saying. I agree with you. You are wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it was performative, the like cutesiness, because she was like so afraid of showing us who she really was. David?
After season two, I went and rewatched The Comeback. I know. Because I think the finales of both season twos are like sister pieces.
Totally.
Of like, she's like, okay, I'm actually ready to move on. Like, I'm leaving you behind now.
That was the shift in The Comeback finale of the like filming style. I gasped.
Yeah, and it's Lisa Kudrow being like, no, I'm actually one of the best actresses of all time. Yeah.
I went to school where Meryl Streep went to school.
Thank you.
Yeah,
yeah, and in The Comeback, like, she goes to Mickey's bedside and he's like, you shouldn't be here. And she's like, no, I should be here. And she's like, I know, I'm getting teared up. And in Fleabag, there's that, I mean, I don't know why I keep linking them, but when she's like, I love you, and he starts to talk, and she's like, no, I got it.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so painful.
Yeah, that, it did kind of heal. I think, like, Fleabag season two has released something into the ether, where I think my issue, going back to earnestness, like, I've been bitching a lot about Pose lately. I bitched a bit about Shrill, because I feel like they're a little too on the nose for me. Mm-hmm. And Fleabag, I think, like, has kind of ticked up the intelligence just a little bit back to where it needed to be.
Yes, I just saw Jacqueline Novak's show, The Cherry Lane, and I was talking to John Early afterwards, who directed it, and he was like, it's so nice to see something that is smart, like, that doesn't condescend to its audience, because I feel like there's, like, a generation of people younger than us who, like, haven't been given that. Like, who haven't been allowed to, like, be treated as being worthy, as being smart. And it's, like, so exciting to see things like Fleabag Season 2 and Jacqueline's show that are, like, just smart and good and, like, highbrow. But, like, that doesn't mean they're not alienating.
Right.
It's, like, still totally accessible.
Well, when you and I grew up, the Disney movies, I felt like, would have jokes that were for the parents.
Yeah.
And the kids, you would just kind of have to pick it up.
Right, yeah. It would, like, wash over you, and maybe you, like, got it later.
Exactly. And now I feel like everything's been kind of minionized.
Right.
And is dumb.
Yes.
And, yeah, even, like, I so rarely feel that. I guess that's why I like Veronica Mars, because I'm like, oh, right, the writing's actually...
Right.
Like someone did some, and same with the Favorite.
Yes.
It was one of the
few times.
I'm
not like in a full vegetative state while watching this.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, they've handled this part. I don't need to like, and I just wish that were the case. Well, I hope that's the case with The Politician.
Yeah. It's
not with Pose.
I'm probably like, I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Right.
It comes out September. Check it out. I'm not affiliated with it at all. But fully promoting it right now. There are some like stellar performances in it.
Yeah.
Jessica Lange is like as like strange and compelling as ever. Gwyneth Paltrow. Lucy Boynton.
Okay.
Who was in Bohemian Rhapsody, which I did not see.
No, I did see on in every plane.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I did recently watch it over someone's shoulder on a plane.
There was no escape.
Yeah, I was like, I got tied in a little bit. I was like, ooh, compelling.
Yeah.
But again, I was not listening to it. She was in that. She's in this, and she is, like, phenomenal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went to the Tonys this year. I got a gig working the Tonys this year. Huge. And famously had not seen a single show that was...
Oh, I love that for you.
And it was great, actually, because I did not... I could just not care.
Oh, this was like Hadestown in Oklahoma.
Yeah. And I thought a lot of what I saw...
Okay.
So I didn't see the shows, but I saw the performances.
Right.
There was a lot of, like, straight mediocrity. Like, Judith Light won an award, which was like, okay, gay people are here.
Yeah.
And then I felt like a lot of the rest of the night was very, like... tepid and for straight people. And
which is not what the Tony Awards are. That's not the event.
The
maybe.
One night.
Uh-huh. And go I'm to the just, Golden Globes. Go somewhere else.
Thank you. Uh-huh. So what... I'm just curious what your thoughts are about, like, where theater is right now, like, straight versus gay, good versus bad, smart versus for the masses. Like,
oh
I'm
gosh.
Just curious what you're feeling.
Do you know Ben Moss?
Love. King. Virgo. King.
Oh, wow.
Terrorist.
One of my all-time faves.
Yes.
Did you say a terrorist?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. A domestic terrorist.
All
famously.
Virgo.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so talented and well-adjusted. And it's like, well, great.
He recently came up with this scale that is art is good when it's, if it's by gay people for dumb people, fun. By gay people for smart people, gorgeous. By straight people for smart people, okay. By straight people for dumb people, get out.
Mm.
And I do think there are a couple of those like creeping up. On the Broadway stage.
You're right, because, you know, Charlie's Angels movies are famously written by a gay man.
Exactly.
So they, to me, they're masterpieces and they're brilliant.
Cameron Diaz at her best.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because he can say, we're going to be dumb.
Yes.
But we are smart because we are gay.
Right. We're ahead of this. We're choosing this.
Right.
This isn't my only option.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's not like, the Charlie's Angels remake that's coming out. I keep talking about Charlie's Angels on this podcast.
But I haven't seen the trailer, but I did see a GIF of Kristen Stewart like taking off a wig, I think.
Okay.
Like Aaron Paul's like wig reveal.
It's a real Brooklyn Heights, that Kristen
they
Stewart I've always
do
said.
Kind of look alike.
Yes. Yes,
wow.
You're right.
Wow.
I'm sorry. So you were saying back to the new Bechdel Ben Moss
right.
grid.
I have seen some things where that were more in the if I, like, graphed them on a matrix, I would put some things in the by straight people for dumb people. And it's, like, painful to see
mm-hmm.
because I love theater so much. I just, like, want it to be good because I love it so much and I want people to come see Broadway and, like, want to come back.
Right.
And so when I see something that I don't like, it's like, oh, no. Because, like, what if that means, like, that's the person's only show? But also so many times when I go to those shows and I'm like, oh, I'm, like, this is not for me. I'm not getting it. Everyone around me is like slapping their knees, having the greatest time. So, art.
I know that's.
Am I right?
That's a part of getting older too. I think is I have to be like, okay, you kids have fun. That's been with me with like Pose, where everyone loved it, and I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna keep bitching about it.
I need to catch up. MJ Rodriguez is, I think, astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
I need to keep watching.
I think India is, a star.
Yeah, and the most beautiful person on earth.
Gorgeous.
So is Elektra.
Elektra. So I interviewed all of them at once, mm-hmm. and Elektra, truly, it was me. It was me meeting Naomi Campbell.
Yeah, visually, it's unfathomable.
She's like 11 feet tall. I just remember like looking up, and then the cheekbones are like you during Dear Evan Hansen.
God, I wish. Thank you for even putting me in the same realm.
Yeah, very comparable.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Go up for the same part.
You know, my passion is, like, superhero stuff. I've always wanted to do that. I want to write it. And I feel very, like, you know, I hate that feeling where it's like, no, but this actually can be good. Just, you guys don't get it.
Right.
It's frustrating.
And we've seen examples. Like, did you like Into the Spider-Verse?
I loved.
Me too.
Sucked.
Me too. Like, yeah, that was all. That's a genre that I think I never was interested in because I saw so many examples of it. That were like
mediocre.
Totally. And then I saw Into the Spider-Verse and I was like, oh my God, like it can be so much more than what I think it can be. What is your, like, what's your dream? Do you have like a character you'd like to write for?
You know, all gay men are so protective of the X-Men. It's so personal.
It's like a story of outsiders. Because and gay people are mutants, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Whoa. That, yeah. You heard it here for the first time. It, like, X-Men is just
canon.
On a DNA level, it's so, like, a part of just queer culture.
Wow.
And it, I think it reverberates in pretty much all gay art in 2019. Slash
yeah, Mystique is, like, gay as hell.
Mystique, Emma Frost, like, the whole Dark Phoenix. Like, the idea that the leader of the X-Men since the 70s is Storm, is who's, like, a black goddess from Africa who controls the weather.
Yeah.
And who takes in, like, Kitty Pryde and is like, you're my daughter now. There's disco. And then when the first movie came out, it was very, like, Matrix era. So that's queer. So there's a million... X-Men is always going to be that thing that, like... Whenever a straight person gets their hands on it, yeah, especially with the movies, it's painful because it feels like a violation.
Sure.
So X-Men will always be that thing, but I would love, like, they're making a movie now, and I'm like, I just wish you guys would call me Birds of Prey, which is like all these like hot women bitches in Gotham City. It's like Black Canary, Huntress. And
like lots of like gorgeous wings.
Batgirl. Costumes. Yeah, and it's just like they're cool and they're like solving crimes. Lois Lane is very big for me. Lois Lane is critical for me.
Wow.
And like Margot Kidder, Lois Lane, like ugh. And when they fucked up Amy Adams, I was like, you had everything you needed.
How
she would have given
about,
it to you.
Terry Hatcher's performance.
She got it, I actually.
Oh, wow,
think.
Okay.
Terry Hatcher and Erica Durance, who was on Smallville for 39 seasons, which I watched, they got it, which is like, wear your heels, you be click-clacking on that typer, and you have an attitude. Like, you better snap it. And that's
Lois
Lane. Very
like Bryce Dallas Howard in Jurassic World. Like, click-clacking, but getting things done.
Yes, on a mission. So, anyways, there's so many of those that I'm like, I just want to handle myself so badly, but...
You will.
And it's painful to see when they aren't, but... Anyways, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, I know you will.
Thank you.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I know. I can feel it.
That's exciting.
I had this moment last year. Thank you for making this whole interview about me, by the way.
Oh, my God, my pleasure. I'm taking over the podcast from here on out. I hope that's okay.
So I wanted to ask you this, which is similar to what I asked Charlene, but for you to do what you've done at such a huge scale, night after night, with as much momentum and not implode on yourself... first of all, I'm just curious, like, when you're up there, do you feel like you? Do you just feel like you're like a vessel and things are going through you? How much of it feels like Taylor Trench? How much of it feels just like you are just kind of this slate?
I don't know. I think it probably is, like, different from show to show. I think I tend to, like... try to find as many things as possible that I like that I have in common with in a character. I guess I feel like it's me up there. I don't know. I'm like very dubious. Is that the word I'm looking for? I like don't trust method actors, people who like are staying in character the whole time.
Right.
I think that is like unnecessary and like dangerous sometimes, and
it's very straight male.
It's very straight male, and I feel like it's more of a like, look how seriously I take this than I don't think it's like helping in any way. So I don't feel like I wouldn't say that I feel like I'm like something is like I'm channeling something through me. I think it is like me. The most important thing to me in acting is just like being able to be comfortable on stage, like breathing and feeling like you're grounded in your own body so that you can listen to the people you're on stage with and like serve them. Like it just is the more you can get out of your own head and like be thinking about trying to like serve the story or the people you're on stage with or the audience or I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I think it all, I think probably largely like a lot of it is me. I don't know.
So
it's so weird to talk about acting. It's I like suddenly am like, feel like what I do is so stupid. Because I guess I also like that there's like a little bit of mysticism in acting. Like, yes, a lot of it is me, but also there is like an X factor that's like, I don't know how this is happening. Like, I don't know why this is like why we feel like, I don't know why I get emotional when like I do things or.
Right.
So I don't know. I like to preserve that, I guess. And so I always feel like so silly talking about acting.
I guess, you know, Charlene and there's a few other people who, like, do things that I really respect mm-hmm. and who are very present. Mm-hmm. And when I asked Charlene, she just said, like, well, I've been naked in front of thousands of people, uh-huh. so what's going to scare me? So the rest is easy.
Right.
And I'm just curious, like, because I get what you're saying, which is, like, I think when you're doing the thing you're supposed to be doing, it actually isn't that conscious of a process.
Right.
You're pretty much just, like, a custodian, and you're just, like, handling it as
yeah,
it's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
I've felt like anything I've written that I've been proud of just, like, happened.
Uh-huh.
I don't really remember writing it.
Yeah.
I don't remember, like, Like, it just happened. I was just kind of, like,
yes.
task managing.
That's it. Always a good sign, I think, to an acting is, like, if you do something and you walk off the stage and you, like, don't remember a second of it.
Right.
I feel like that's a good sign.
But I'm just curious, like, in terms of you getting to that point of presence,
mm-hmm.
what did that require? What did you have to make any changes in your life or in your relationships or anything like that for you to be able to be like, or maybe it was always that way since you were 20, but I'm just curious, like, for it to be at a point and at a scale that it is now, did you have to make any, like, big, did you have to face any fears or cut down any obstacles?
I, like, certainly was, I still am in my own way, in a huge way. Like, I'm the first to, like, tell you, and so all of us are like this. I'm the first to tell you, like, when I've done a bad job or, so I think that's been a big thing, especially in, I love musicals. I love to go see musicals, but I never really wanted to be in them because I don't think I have a great voice. Like, I just know so many people who are, that is their gift. Like, in Dear Evan Hansen, like, Ben Platt, who did it before me, and now Ben Ross, my boyfriend, who's doing it after me, like, their language is music. That is, like, they're so special because they, music, like, flows through them, and they have these, like, beautiful, masterful voices. And I've never felt that way about myself, and so I didn't, like, I always was, like, trying to, like, keep myself from succeeding there because I was like, oh, this isn't my arena.
Yeah.
But then I kept finding myself getting cast in them, and I probably would have been so much better in so many things if I would have just, like, owned being there instead of, like, apologizing for being there. So I've had to overcome that. And then, I don't know, I'm, like, pretty, maybe, like, detrimentally so, I'm pretty, like, job-focused. Like, that probably, like, friends and then, like, my job, probably, like, what's always, like, at the top of my priority list. So I've, like, I've worked very hard, and I've had, like, great teachers who I think have gotten me to I had, like, an acting teacher in college who changed my life in a big way. But I've been, like, so focused on this. I've wanted to, like, be an actor on stage in New York for so long.
Right.
And I've, like, worked so hard to try to, like, be here and keep doing it. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
No, I get what you're... maybe it's a tourist thing, but I've also experienced that of, like... Okay, well, yeah, I'm writing professionally, but this isn't the kind of writing I want to do, and I'm not even that good at it. I don't take it that seriously, so please don't even look at me while I'm doing this. And it's like... It took me so long to just be like, well, bitch, we're here.
Right.
Clearly we're supposed to be here. Exactly. Why don't you wake up?
Right. Yes. Yes.
And I was so stubborn and bullheaded, literally, mm-hmm. about, like, well, this isn't my plan, actually. And, well, he could do this better than I could.
Right.
So this doesn't really count. And it's like, well, too late.
And it's like probably makes your work suffer. And also it's like so annoying for people around you to, like, listen to that over and over again.
Right.
Although I will say that once upon a time, in the middle of a performance of Dear Evan Hansen, a girl tweeted at me during intermission and said something like, get off the stage, you Kermit-ass bitch, which is genius. Like, put it on a T-shirt. And then there were, like, moments like that where someone on the outside says, like, the thing you fear so deeply. And you're like, oh, no. And so I had, like, been working so hard to, like, erase that voice. And then, like, it's so kooky that, like, a stranger on Twitter who I don't know and who ultimately doesn't matter in my life. Like, I'm good for her, like, hope, all, like, wish her all the best. But, like, she doesn't matter to me. But I was like, oh, God, I, like, spiraled. Oh, my God, it's so stupid.
Do you combat that?
I don't know. I'd still, okay. I, like, will, like, wake up in a cold sweat, like, every couple of weeks and, like, remember Kermit S. Bitch. And, like, oh, no. I have, like, nightmares where I have the Kermit collar on my body.
She's a writer for Jimmy Fallon.
And that girl was A.D. Bryant. Yes.
That girl was Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh, my God. If she said that to me, I would, like, get it tattooed probably across my chest.
That's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say, listening to you and Larry Owen sing together was so beautiful because Larry is so booming and so, like you said, Larry's language is music.
Yeah, yes.
But it was so beautiful because you, I felt like intellectually and talent-wise could match him, and you were able to be, to not need to take the song, you were able to go along on the ride. So maybe, like, that's given you a sense of, like, maybe your warped view of yourself, which is, of course, completely delusional because you're literally a Broadway star, but maybe that's given you the ability now to take on more and to not be so in your head. You know, maybe now you can be humble, etc. Whatever.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Yeah, maybe after this you'll become a complete tyrant.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
I guess I'm... where can people follow you? I know, this is so surreal.
Right, they can follow me home from Grand Central Station today. I'm on the internet at Tay Trench on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, and it is really one of my favorite
Thank
accounts.
You. There's a sneaky little S there in my last name. And then on Instagram at Knuckle Sandwich if you want, but you certainly don't have to.
Oh, it's a delightful Instagram. And especially, thank you. But yeah, I feel like if people want to see where your hair journey is,
they should
follow you on
Instagram. Yeah, keep going. I'm trying to get to Laurie Metcalf. That's the ultimate goal, is like to be able to tuck it behind my... Because I so often gesture for my whole life. I've like pantomimed being able to tuck my hair behind my ears. And so it's just... I owe it to myself to finally actually have the ability to do it.
Can we just, before we end, we should just talk about her because after the comeback, what did I watch? Getting On. I know. Yeah. She is, and she legendary. Is too, like when I saw Doll's House, I remember gasping when it ended.
Yeah.
Like that was where I was like, okay, we are handled. Yes. She's got it. They know exactly, like she only does really good. Mm-hmm. Ugh. And she was wearing a cape at the Tonys.
Yes, you bet she was. Yeah, she put on chapstick in Hillary and Clinton, the most recent play she did. And I like nearly stood up and applauded. Just her like improvisationally putting on chapstick in the middle of a speech. I was like,
that's for gay men. Yeah. I can't believe you're even here. This
Thanks
is so
for
surreal.
Having me.
And I'm so thankful. And I hope that I'm seeing you at a shitty Brooklyn basement comedy show.
I hope so too.
I truly want to see
you know.
In the lowest, least pain. But I really want to see you just like trying it and having fun.
I'll give it a go.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yay. Whee!